Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The Church Museum across from Temple Square closed in October of 2014. It has now reopened. They have completely remodeled the first floor. The second floor is pretty much the same, and we want to talk about that a little bit later. But the first floor has seen some significant changes. And so on October 3rd, during General Conference, three of us from Mormonism Research Ministry, myself, Eric Johnson, and Randy Sweet, as well as our good friend John Cower, visited the renovated History Museum across from Temple Square. And definitely there were some significant changes. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of modern technology that they have used to demonstrate for visitors Mormon history and doctrine and things like that. But there were some additions to the museum that certainly, I think, is expressing in the minds of many Latter-day Saints a more transparency in the Mormon Church. And we've seen this through the Gospel Topics essays, and now we're starting to see a little bit more honesty regarding LDS history in the museum itself. And so we want to talk about some of the things that we saw while visiting the Church Museum and maybe just give you an idea of what you would be expected to see if you were to visit the museum itself. Now, as you first walk in, there is a big sign that is there that talks about religious awakenings. And it shows a man holding what I'm assuming is probably a Bible with his arm up in the air as if he's preaching to a crowd. But it is referring to these questions that we hear often raised by Latter-day Saints regarding revelation and miracles. What does it say on that sign?
Well, it asks three questions. The first one, has revelation ceased? And second, are miracles no more? And third, has reason replaced faith? Now, Bill, if you're a Protestant going through this museum and you may not know very much about the Mormon religion, and you see this first sign, and you see those three questions, I think the average evangelical or Protestant Christian, even a liberal Christian, is going to answer the way that they would want you to. Has revelation ceased? No. And as an evangelical Christian, I say it's through God's special revelation, the Bible. But no, God has still continued to reveal himself. Are miracles no more? Now, it may depend on what your view is on miracles, but even the dispensationalists would say that there are still the possibility of miracles that God can do. And then reason replacing faith. I don't think any Christian wants to become a rationalist. We want to include faith. So already, I'm inclined to agree with the answers they're going to ask.
Well, when I looked at those questions, has revelation ceased? I tend to agree with what you're saying there. I would say, as far as God has revealed himself in the Bible, but if you're going to try and make a case that the revelation that Mormons are led to believe should be embraced, the reason why we would have questions about that is because a lot of these revelations that Joseph Smith claimed to come up with conflict with what God has already revealed. God's not going to reveal something that contradicts what he's revealed previously. In Mormonism, that's exactly what we find. Are miracles no more? I would agree. God can do whatever he wants. Certainly, he can. I would certainly have a question about a lot of these alleged miracle rallies that you see going on in some places. I do tend to have my suspicions about some of those professors that claim to be able to heal on the spot. And many times there's really no way of verifying whether or not the healing is legitimate or not. But again, I would also agree with you, has reason replaced faith? I would say, no, I don't think it's replaced faith. But certainly Christians would argue that we have a faith that's reasonable. We would not agree that a lot of the things that Mormons are led to believe are reasonable. partly because they do conflict with what God has already revealed. Again, we have to go back to what the Bible actually says on a lot of these important issues. But you're right. I think what they're trying to do with this sign is to give some kind of a springboard to the claims of the Mormon church.
And in fact, where they write underneath that, these were common questions at the end of the 1700s. Ideas such as logical reasoning, independent thought, and a focus on the individual tested people's religious beliefs. Church attendance was low. By 1800, increasing numbers of people were yearning to understand life's meaning and purpose. Christianity, however, did not answer with one voice. Both the ancient teachings of the Bible and the anticipated second coming of Jesus Christ inspired hope in many. They sought renewed signs of God's power and love for humanity.
What this is referring to, of course, would be naturally the First and Second Great Awakening. I have to assume that's what it's talking about. The First Great Awakening began in the 1730s and lasted till about 1743. And two of the more prominent figures in the First Great Awakening, of course, would be Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. George Whitefield being a British evangelist who came over to the United States and was very much a part of this movement. It was more of a Calvinistic awakening, as opposed to the Second Great Awakening, which occurred late in the 18th century, in the late 1700s, it lasted until the middle of the 19th century. So the beginnings of Mormonism finds itself right smack dab in the middle of the Second Great Awakening. Now, I would say that the Second Great Awakening had some of its own problems. I mean, Charles Finney was one of those that was prominent in the Second Great Awakening. I certainly wouldn't adhere to a lot of the teachings of Charles Finney. But when it talks about in the sign that Christianity, however, did not answer with one voice, no doubt there are differences of opinion on some of the doctrinal aspects. We would call them probably more the secondary issues. But this reminds me of the opening scene of the Mormon Miracle Pageant, this famous scene where it shows these three congregations, at least this is what these three small groups of people are supposed to represent, three small congregations of Christian churches all teaching different things. Every time I see that scene at the Mormon Miracle Pageant, I can't help but think, yeah, but Joseph Smith just made a fourth group. He came up with his own stuff. He made a fourth group. So even though it's saying that they did not answer with one voice, even Smith didn't answer with the one voice. He comes up with his own ideas.
Well, I think many Latter-day Saints think that Christian churches are going to disagree, and that's not the case. In fact, when we're out on the streets of Manti and somebody says, well, what church do you come from? What do you believe? And then you call in some other people from all over the nation, come on over here, what church do you go to? And they go to a Calvary Chapel, this person goes to a Presbyterian church. And then we say, okay, well, what view of God do we have? What view of Jesus? What view of salvation? What view of authority? And we're all on the same page. Yes, we may have some differences on the peripheral side issues, as you mentioned, but as far as the essentials, we're all on the same page. So for this sign, I think it's a little cut on the idea of the different kinds of churches and what's the true church. That's the one we want to find. And that's what many Mormons think they have. They have the church that is restored from the apostasy. And today they can trust in their leaders to be able to help them go to the celestial kingdom if they obey all the commandments.
And I think that's what's a little bit misleading with that sign about the religious awakenings, is because Mormonism was really a radical departure from anything that had ever been understood within Christianity.
Right.
You won't find anywhere in Christian history that Christians were worshiping a God that was once a man who has a body of flesh and bones.
Never.
You certainly won't see anybody in ancient Christianity or historical Christianity believing that there were three gods that made up the one Godhead. In other words, what they're trying to portray here is that they needed a shift towards Mormonism. I'm having a hard time with that. And I think, again, this sign is very misleading in what it's trying to portray, even regarding the Christian churches at that particular time period.
Not far from where that sign is, there's a painting, and I found it to be a very interesting painting of the angel Moroni, and he's talking to Joseph Smith, and in the bedroom there, because Joseph Smith is about 17 years of age, and there's a brother, and he's sleeping, even though this is supposedly lit up the whole room, and there's a conversation that's taking place.
And that's a question I've always had, is here is this angel who's described as being as bright as noonday, having a conversation with Joseph Smith, probably a more one-sided conversation, if anything, but yet none of his brothers or sisters wake up during this time. Now, maybe that's the real miracle here, that they don't wake up during this time. But I found it interesting, as well as you did, that it would have in the painting a sibling who is still sleeping while Joseph Smith is looking at this angel that has appeared in the bedroom. So they definitely wanted to bring that aspect out.
If there's anything that is featured in the museum, if you wanted to say something that was the most talked about, I'm going to have to say it was the Book of Mormon. They had an original 1830 edition there. They had the printing press that the Book of Mormon was printed on. They actually had a wall full of replica 1830 editions, and it said, "A great call for our books." And so there was a huge emphasis on the whole story of the Book of Mormon. And I know we're not going to be able to cover it all today, but there's a lot of aspects in there that I would say are troubling to me as an apologist, because I don't think the complete story was being told, but the Book of Mormon is the centerpiece of the Mormon religion.
Yeah, we should probably say that the Book of Mormon display that they had, as far as the original and the printing press, that was in the original pre-remodeled museum. So I couldn't imagine them getting rid of that. They certainly do want to emphasize the importance of the Book of Mormon. In tomorrow's broadcast, I want to cover something that was unique in this museum that was not in the old museum, and it's been something that has certainly been in the news a lot lately, and that is how Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon. You never heard anything in the old museum about the Seer Stone, and it seems like the Mormon Church wanted to make it very clear that they were not going to hide this tool that Joseph Smith used to bring about the Book of Mormon. So in tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about the Seer Stone on a panel that was titled Joseph's Preparation. So we hope that you'll join us for tomorrow's broadcast. Before we leave, I just want to mention something, and we don't say this enough. I would like to thank all those who support this ministry, who've been praying for us in this ministry, and just to give you a big thanks for helping us do what we do. Please know that your support has not gone unappreciated, and we thank you for standing behind this work.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.